This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand.
Send in the clouds just when I stopped opening doors.
That is Send in the Clouds, written by Stephen Sondheim and sung here by Judy Collins. Her version made his song a hit. It won a Grammy in 1976. For most of her life, Judy Collins made a career out of singing songs written by other famous artists like Leonard Cohen, Joni Mitchell, and John Denver.
Country roads take me home to the place I belong.
It wasn't until last year, when she turned 82, that she finally released an album entirely of her own original songs. She wrote every lyric on the album.
And I thought when I would see them so content and so serene, how could I find that surrender? I could fly, but I would scream, fighting out of beauty's trance in the light of sand and water, knowing I would crawl the highway.
That's the song Spellbound, the title track from her latest album. Spellbound has been nominated for Best Folk Album at this year's Grammy Awards, and Judy Collins joins me on the line now. Welcome to Press Play.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations, by the way. That's fantastic.
Oh, I'm so happy about it. I was kind of shocked, but then around the corner. Oh, I don't know. I sort of thought they forgot about me, but no.
No, they couldn't forget about you. So, because you have been so prolific and you have such a beautiful voice, but what was it like to finally create an album fully your own and write every song on it for the first time?
Well, I've been writing songs pretty steadily since 1966. When Leonard Cohen said to me, I don't know why you're not writing your own song. So I wrote Since You've Asked, and then I continue to write. And my writing process has been pretty steady, and I've recorded 60 of my own songs so far. Mm-hmm. But I sort of fell into this because I started writing with Ari Hest, who's singing actually on that song you just heard, Harmony. And he's been very inspirational to me in the last 10 years or so. And so when I started writing songs with him, I sort of plunged into my own writing again with the, 24/7. And actually I went kind of crazy and I wrote 365 poems in a year. Every day I wrote.
Wow. Was that a pandemic thing?
No, this happened in 2016 before the pandemic. Although during the pandemic, I had written most of these songs before, but during the pandemic, I took the time to shape them and practice them and record them.
So let's hear a little bit more music. And this one takes us back to the 1960s, to Greenwich Village, and it's called So Alive.
You were rich and I was poor, trying to fit in. Back on Bleecker in the spring, a haunting Johnson Square. In the fat black pussycat, catch me if you dare. We were so alive. Then the world was going mad, the sky was overcast. Found my peace in whiskey and the poets of the past. You were moving past me through the dark night of your soul. I was singing folk songs and dreamed of rock and roll.
Wow, that really paints a picture of what it must have been like back then. That sounds amazing. Who are you talking to? You were moving past me through the dark night of your soul. Who is that?
My sister called me after she heard that song, and she said, who was this about? And I said, I thought about it, and I said, mostly I think it was about David Blue. I don't know if people remember him, but he was one of the young upcoming songwriters. It's very good. He was very good looking. He was very mesmerizing, and he and I had a few moments together. And he did have a single bed, and he always did leave by noon. So, you know,
that's very courteous of him.
Very vivid picture of what kinds of things that went on in those days.
Yeah, a lot was going on. Yeah, I guess great. There was so much social activism and creative expression, and it was, you know, the youth movement in full flower. But also, you said, I found my peace in whiskey. And you have been open in the past about your alcohol addiction and also your food addiction. And do you want to talk about that and how you came to terms with that?
Well, I was lucky because I was always self-protective and always trying to figure out how to fix it. I'm a great fixer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always looking, oh, what's wrong with me? How can I get well? I started exercising in 1962, and I started controlling my drinking and my eating. And then I found wonderful resources. You know, I found the 12-step programs in both cases, and I've been sober for 45 years today.
Hmm.
You know, it was hard going through it, and I'm just lucky. I'm one of the lucky ones.
Did you have a really bad drinking problem? Was it
debilitating? Oh, yes. Well, the last year just about did me in, but that was enough. You know, I think I was fortunate in all the preceding years to keep my career going and keep working and so on. But then in the last year, I could barely work. So it was about time for me to turn on the meetings and get some help, which I did.
Right. How did that affect your music?
Well, I don't really know that it did, because there was a lot of continuity in everything that I was doing, and I picked up where I left off and back to going out on the road with 17 people in the band. So, you know, nothing has ever really stopped me, which is just simply good luck, I think.
Let's hear a little bit more music. This one is called Arizona.
I danced in the desert when I was but 20, I sang to mirages, made love to the wind. I climbed the blue ridges above the red sunsets. I walked and I wandered, I prayed and I sinned. I drank from the springs where the secrets were hidden. I spoke with the healers, knelt under their wings. My heart hollowed out to a whistling whisper that spoke to me only of winter and spring. Arizona of starlight and tumbleweed, where antelope climb the ravines, you healed all the wounds that were hidden and left them for all to be seen.
That is a beautiful picture of Arizona, the landscape and everything there. What are you singing about in that song?
I was in 1962. I went out to Arizona to do a show, and I was sick. I had some kind of gurgling in my chest, which I hadn't done anything about. And I sang that night, and the two kids who were running the club happened to be interns at the hospital. And they said, we're going to take you over to the Tucson clinic in the morning and have Dr. Schneider look at you. And he did. And he said, Miss Collins, you're not going anywhere because you have tuberculosis. And so I was put in quarantine at this beautiful hospital, adobe with the curved doorways and all that spectacular landscape outside the screen where I was sheltered. Nobody could get at me and I couldn't get at anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had the most extraordinary few weeks there, but it was a lot of life changing. I was divorced after that experience and had to struggle for the custody of my son and continue working.
So you were a single mom and on tour and working and living in the village?
Yes, I was. I was. Well, I didn't get back custody to my of my son until 1967, the Christmas of 67. So, you know, it was a hard won battle. I was told I could never lose custody. Women never did. But I proved to be the exception. I was told by my lawyers that the reason was that I was in therapy. Nowadays, if you weren't in therapy, you might lose custody.
Wow. So that must have been really hard to have to fight to have your child with you.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
My ex-husband was a good guy, and he was, you know, mad as hell. But on the other hand, he was a good dad, and he was a good husband and a good ex-husband, actually.
Mm. And your son took his own life when he was 33 years old.
He did.
Yeah, and you have since become an advocate for suicide prevention. How can you talk about that and that work?
You know, I myself was a suicide practicer, I guess. And
what do you mean?
I tried to kill myself when I was 14, and thank God I didn't succeed.
Oh.
And I think Clark had a very, I don't believe that it's true that suicide runs in families, but chemical imbalance and addiction does run in families, for sure. It's in the DNA, and my son was an addict and an alcoholic, and he was sober for about 7 years before he took his life, which was what, you know, put me into a state of shock when it happened, because I didn't expect it. I was kind of living a dream of recovery, but you never know. You just mm-hmm. never know with people. But mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to have people in my life like Joan Rivers, who said, you know, you have to stop. You have to keep working. You can't stop, because if you don't continue, you won't heal from this. And I mm-hmm. took her advice.
So it was the work that helps you out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always has been.
And you also have grandchildren, right?
I have a grandchild, my son's daughter, and I have a couple of great-grandchildren, which is wonderful. Yeah. Very
exciting. Oh, that's wonderful.
My great-grandson is extremely musical. He's also a drummer, but he goes to sleep with my music every night, which pleases me a lot.
Oh, that's really sweet. So you're on tour now. What is that like to be on tour? Is it hard?
It's like my life. My life is a tour. Hmm. And I've done it pretty consistently. And the only time I was off the road was about 3 months in 1968 when I was in the hospital, and another 5 when I had TB, and another a couple of years when I got sober. But otherwise, I've spent pretty much most of my 83 years either getting ready to go on tour or starting, which I did in 1959.
Oh, my gosh. So it would be hard for you not to be on tour, I guess.
Very, very, very hard. It's been hard during the pandemic, and it's the most natural thing in the world for me to be touring and singing and going from city to city.
So when will you be here in Los Angeles?
Well, I'm coming for the Grammys.
Mm. Are you performing at the Grammys?
I don't know. They haven't asked me, so we'll see.
Mm. You know, that reminds me, I didn't ask you about your friendship with Leonard Cohen, and you mentioned early on he's the one who encouraged you to write your own songs. So how does he shape the way you think about music now, and is he with you when you're writing songs?
Oh, yes. I think I get a visit from his muse once in a while, which is thrilling. And I would like very much to call him up and tell him that I've written the whole album.
What do you think he'd say?
I think he'd know that it was happening, because I've shared my writing with him all along. I always send him the songs that I've written. And mm-hmm. I've always recorded him. The last thing I recorded of his was Everybody Knows, which I did on the Stills Collins album of 2017. So I've kept right up to date with my old friend.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. I'm a big fan.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thanks for playing songs from Spellbound. I really appreciate it.
That's my pleasure. That's Judy Collins. Her latest album is Spellbound, nominated for a Grammy for Best Folk Album. She's on tour, and she'll be here in Los Angeles on June 2nd at the Saban Theater.
Everybody knows that the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
Coming up, what is going on with all the peacocks in the San Gabriel Valley? South Pasadena is trying to relocate them, but how did they get there in the first place? That's next on Press Play.
Support comes from USC Online, providing exceptional online graduate programs, certificates, and upskilling for current and aspiring professionals. Explore your graduate options today with the University of Southern California at online.usc.edu.